4, it says this: through wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So in other words, God is teaching us that we can have a house that can withstand the storms of life. Hallelujah. Amen? First of all, wisdom. When we look at the blueprint on how to build the house, you better have the knowledge of the wisdom to do it the way the prince tell you to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Don't try to do it your own way, because a lot of people, you ever do that? Especially men, when it comes Christmas time, they got kids and they got these toys. And he said, okay, here's how you put it together. And you got these instructions. The first thing, we don't need that. We can put it together ourselves. And all of a sudden, you got parts left over. You got things missing. That happens. And the same thing with us. If we're going to build a house that's going to withstand the storms of life, then we better use wisdom by looking at the blueprint and what it takes to build that house and do it God's way. You can do it your own way. A lot of people do. They reject the wisdom of God for their own wisdom. And God talks about that. There's two wisdom. Wisdom from below here and the wisdom from above. And if we're not going to build the house based on his wisdom, then we're wasting our time and energy. You may not agree with the messenger that's bringing the message, but you better agree with the message if he's using the word of God. For a moment, any house that you build can look good, but as soon as the storm comes, it can collapse at any moment because they built it on sifting sands. In other words, they built their life on emotional instability. Everything is based on how others treat them or don't treat them. Everything's based on what they want rather than what God wants. They based their house built on their knowledge that they gain up here, but never establish it here. And a lot of Christians are that way. How do you know that? Because as soon as the storm comes, they fall apart. When things become difficult, what do? The same thing that the prophet did when they were running from Ahab and Elijah. Elijah did when he ran from Ahab and Jezebel. He runs. Then they end up hiding in their cave called their homes. And God stands outside and says, hey, what are you doing in there? Hallelujah. So we want to make sure we're going to use wisdom in building our house. So use wisdom in doing it God's way. Look at the blueprints, God. Come on now, we all had ideas of what our life was going to be like before we came to Christ. And then many of us carried over what they were doing in their natural lives into the spiritual realm of the kingdom of God. And they brought all their ideas of what they were going to do into that place. And so now they're trying to build a life in Christ based on their own wisdom that they brought into the kingdom. That's why he said your mind has to be renewed. Amen. Be not conformed to this world. The world's doing their thing. Don't you do the same thing as the world. Amen? Do it God's way. If you want to really build a solid house, and the foundation is solid, it's based on Christ, it's based in Jesus is what? The Word. You're not going to build a house based on other things, on wants and needs and desires and all this stuff. You're not going to base it on that. You're going to build it. That's sifting sands, because all those things change as time goes on. As experiences come, all those thoughts and things change. That's called sifting sand. But when you build it on the rock, you build it on the Word of God. You build it solid then, and you won't ever change. And no matter what anybody says or whatever anybody does, you will not change. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. By understanding, it's established, he said. You have to understand. Well, I don't understand it. Ask, and you shall receive. Keep seeking, asking. Look, where do I ask? Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the people that you know are strong Christians who are basing their life on the Word of God. So you gain understanding. With understanding, you're going to be established. I want to understand how God does things. I just don't want to know that He does things. You understand? I want to understand it. When He said some things don't come out by prayer and fasting, I want to understand that. Because there's things in everybody's life that they have going on in their life that they're trying to deal with in the flesh, and they start and they go a little ways with it, but then they fall. And we go right back into doing it again. There's certain things in our lives that God wants to deal with to help us through these things, to get rid of these things, to remove these things. And the only way you're going to do it is, I don't understand, Lord, how to do that. I don't even understand what you're talking about there. That's when God starts revealing Himself. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So what it is that you're not trying to draw God down here. You're trying to establish your thoughts up there. He said, think on these things, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is righteous, whatever is good report. Think on these things. So we have to get our mind on the things above and not the things below all the time. And that's not to look at others and, you know, oh, well, you know, that one's doing that, so I think I'll do that. Don't do that. Well, they're happy, they're getting away with it. Sure they are. For a moment, they will be. But when the storm comes, if they haven't established their life on the rock, on the truth of God's word, on the promises of God, eventually they're going to fall away. Seen it over and over and over. They begin the journey doing it God's way. Then all of a sudden, some comes up. Temptation. Somebody hurts them, says something. Somebody does something. And all of a sudden, they're sliding right away. Because they never truly built it on the rock. Because if you're built on the rock, when that stuff comes, you're not going to be moved. Will you be shaken? Yeah. When the wind blows, you're going to be shaken. But you're never going to back off. You're never going to quit. You're never going to stop trusting. You're never going to lose confidence. Your hope is established. Amen? And the next thing he said was, you want to fill, oh man, you want to fill all the rooms with good, precious riches. Not the riches of this world. But I'm going to tell you, I truly believe with all my heart that the riches of this world comes out of the riches of the kingdom of God. There's two ways to live life down here. Either you do everything you can to get everything that's out there, or you do everything you can to get everything up here. And he said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, amen, and his righteousness, what'll happen? All these things will be added onto you. God is not adverse to you getting riches, but if riches is what you're going after, of this world. He said, love not the things of this world, because you have not the love of the Father in you. There's one thing to have those things, and God blesses you with those things, and that's a good thing. But if God comes up to you one day and says, listen, I want you to give everything away, your heart better be established. Because if it isn't, you'll walk away. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, he'd never ask me to do that. Okay, maybe he won't. God knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows what you treasure. Because he said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. There's nothing hidden from him. Nothing. Nothing. Right. Even if you repent of your sins and your heart is still chasing after him, he knows that. It's only from the heart when you establish this thing. I'm going to establish this thing because I love God more than I love my sin. That's when you're on the road to victory. Amen? Amen? And I know sin isn't a nice word, but. So establishing this home. And he said to me, he said, okay, these are the three things it takes. Love, which is the mortar that holds everything together. The blocks are the faith. But he said, you have to have a blueprint. And he said, that's the hope. Hope is for a future. When you get a set of blueprints made up, it's for a future building. You don't get the blueprints after the building's already up. Right? Why? Because you want to build it the way you want it to be built. Amen? Now you can build a house out of beautiful granite or brick or wood or whatever. Or you can build it out of a cardboard box. You can build it any way you want. Your home, your life is a reflection of you. Amen? What you desire for your life is what you've got right now. We can blame the devil, we can blame somebody else, we can blame this person and that person, but the truth of the matter is, our lives were built based on, look, there's people out there, and, you know, yes, some people come up in a situation that's very ungodly, very, very bad. Some of them very poor, some of them in bad situations, being abused in many different ways, and all this stuff. But that does not mean that you have to continue in it. Something happens at the cross. When you come to the cross, something happens. All things passed away. All things become new. You have a clean slate and you have a new life ahead of you based on your building, on what you do with it. That's why he said to us, when we stand before Jesus, we stand before him without excuse. He gave us every opportunity for a good and godly life. He gave us everything needful for it. Yep, if you fall, yes, you're going to. At times, that old nature's going to come back in. Oh, man, that's no excuse to stay there. Amen. That's who I was. That's not who I am.
Amen.
Who I am is based entirely on what I've done since the cross at Calvary. Entirely. Have I got a ways to go? Man, I'm still building. Matter of fact, I'm still actually, at some time, still in the blueprint stage. I'm seeing things. God reveals things to me. And he said, Dave, you need a little adjustment on this wall over here. You know, that wiring that you put in over here isn't going to, you know, pass inspection. There's things in our lives. A floor isn't quite level the way I want it. So he starts ordering my life. Remember what I said? Divine connection brings divine order. Divine order fulfills divine purpose. So what we're trying to do is, that's why God dealt with sickness and disease. That's why Jesus went about healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Why? Because their lives weren't in order with God's plan. Do you understand that? Your healing comes because it's that sickness and disease will stop you from fulfilling your purpose, because divine connection brings divine order, which brings divine purpose. Why? Because it brings divine glory to God and divine praise from you. You see how it works? So what God is trying to do is he say, okay, now I want you to build this. Now remember something. When we were doing our system over where we were, I had to go to an architect and get blueprints made up. I wasn't able to build. I couldn't. Well, I could do my own blueprints. You know why they don't accept your blueprints most times from any place? Now, there's some small things you can do and take it out of a book and write it down. But the fullness of it, there's a reason for it. It's because you don't know everything that needs to be done in there. You know that you want a wall here and you want a bathroom here and you want a kitchen over there and you want a bedroom over here. That much you know. But you don't understand how it has to be put together so that thing doesn't fall apart when you put it up. An architect went to school for that. No matter how hard you try with your life, there's an architect, a builder, someone who's gone to school for that. Jesus, who's going to create everything. And he's able to build that and give you the blueprints for your life that will make it solid your whole life. And that's what he's about to do. And that's what he's doing. Hope is the blueprint of your life. Hope, actually, if you look it up, what it means is, listen to this, to cherish a desire with anticipation. To want something to happen or be true. Desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. In other words, you have a desire in your life. You desire this house to be built one way. Everybody that I know wants to be healthy. Everybody I know wants to have joy and peace in their life. Everybody I know wants to prosper financially. Everybody I know desires to have the fullness of God's promises fulfilled in their lives. The only problem we have is some people don't know what those promises are. And then when they see the promise, they don't know how to obtain the promise. So God, in his infinite wisdom, starts showing us how to build the house. Remember what he said? The house is built with wisdom. Not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. If we're going to do this thing, let's do it God's way. You only got one life. Yeah, but if I do it God's way, I can't do what I want to do. Probably true in some aspects of it. There's some things you shouldn't be doing because it's destructive. It leads to sin and death. Amen? And no matter how much you think it's going to be good, sin is good for a season, but eventually it brings death no matter what. When you look over the fence and think it's greener over there, it's only greener over there until you get over there and poop on it. You understand? Because you do. How do you do that? Amen? Hallelujah. So as I began this thing and I started looking at this, I said, okay, Lord, what is it? And I hope I got it the way God instructed me to do it. If not, praise God, give me some grace, okay? The first thing, Job said something, and I think this is really like a lot of us do. Job in chapter 17, verse 15 says, where then is my hope? He said, who can see any hope for me? How many is in that place? Amen? Who can see any hope for me? Well, again, what's that mean? Well, I have no expectation of my life being prosperous, spirit, soul, and body. No matter how much I make, the more I make, the more they take. Right? So, stop and think. Has anybody here said that? Has anybody said, where then is my hope? Do you have hope? We're going to see scriptures in here. How hope is crucial to the building of your life. Without hope, the Bible says a heart that is not deceived, but a heart that is, it just went out of my mind. A heart, let's see, hope deferred makes a heart sick. Thank you, Lord. Hope deferred makes a heart sick. What's it mean? When you remove hope, you got nothing. That's what hell's all about, really. That's what it's all eternity is. There's no hope. That's the worst thing that's going to happen down there. That's why you don't want to go there. Because you can't see any hope for a future. You'll never get out of this situation. Here, if we learn to put our confidence and trust in the word that God spoke, you can then see, have hope for a future. But down there, there is none. Now, we know that we're talking about all kinds of things where hope is concerned with God. But the most important thing is our hope is in Christ and his sacrifice at the cross at Calvary that gives us eternal life in heaven. That's the greatest hope. That needs to be established first. Because if it isn't, the rest of it will fall apart. It's our hope that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And because God accepted his sacrifice for our sins, we have an entrance now into the kingdom of God for all eternity. That hope has to be established. Where then is my hope? The There was a time in David's life, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, you can look there, but I'm going through a few scriptures there. There was a time when David was doing all that he knew to do that was what he should have done. And he went to battle, and he came back. When he came back, him and his army, they found his all his family gone. They were all taken captive. David, who was a hero a moment ago, is now being attacked by the people, the same people who fought with him in the battle. These same people saw that their families were gone. Everything they owned was taken. Everything. So they were about to stone David. Now, how do you think David felt at that moment? How do you think David felt at that moment? All hope is gone. His family's gone. Everything was gone. He didn't know what to do. Everybody had turned against him. Everybody had turned against him. And there's nothing he could have said or done that could have changed their mind. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. He lost all hope at that moment. What did he do? The Bible goes on to say that he turned to God. And he said that he strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. When you lose all hope, you have to turn to God. Don't turn away from him. That's where your hope is, in him. Amen? And strengthen yourself in the Lord. How do you do that? If you look in your bulletin, amen, look in the bulletin, you see I put something in there this morning. I apologize for that because I did it so quick, I didn't proofread it before I put it out, so there's some mistakes in there. But you can read them in your Bible. How do you put your hope in God? Amen? And he goes on here and he says, tell God. Then he tells after that, tell yourself. Then recount all the things God's done for you. Then praise God. How do you establish hope again? How do you restore hope to you? Do these things. It said David called for the ephod, which was a shawl, a prayer shawl that he put over him. And he separated himself from the people. And he got alone with God. And he strengthened himself in the Lord. And he knew and he said, Lord, you are my help. What should I do? What should I do? There's a coming time when you're going to have to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to get yourself alone with God. You're going to have to get in your prayer closet. And you're going to have to say, Lord, what do I got to do? Listen, not to get something, but to restore my hope in you. Because in that hope, you're going to find your answers. You understand? Hope and faith working together. Love, hope, and faith all work together. You can't separate them. But a lot of people lose hope over time. There's times when things are going on in your life, and it just seems to go on and on and on and on. And you're sitting there going, well, when is this ever going to end? Don't lose hope in God. Take these here. Restore your hope. And this is what I believe you can do with this. If you will do this one day, every day for a month, exactly as it instructs here, I believe you will restore that hope again. Why for a month? It's a nice long time. If I said for 3 days, you might have done it. And then set it aside and not thought about it again. But it takes 21 days. They said that it takes 21 days just to change the way you think of something. So if you do 30, you're really establishing this fact. My hope is in God. Not yet. Look, that doesn't mean we stop doing the things we know to do. That doesn't mean you stop going to a doctor. It doesn't mean you stop taking your medication. It doesn't do any of that. It means that I put my hope in God. And if you use this way to take care of it, fine. But I put my hope in you. Whether for a healing or provision or peace or joy. Amen? And then what did he say to us to do? Meditate on this day and night. I only said once a day, but he said day and night. Why? Because God is trying to renew our mind. That he's God. He's God. You can trust him. You can have confidence in him. Your life can be built on a solid ground that when things come again, and what seem impossible, the most impossible things, what seems impossible with man is possible with God. All things are possible if you can believe. They're all nice words. But if your hope is in Christ, you'll see those words come to pass. And it won't be you doing it. You understand what I'm saying? It's the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God will take these words and start building a solid foundation for you. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. He's waiting for the Word of God to be spoken by you until a point comes when you're speaking in faith and He takes that faith and does exactly what the Word says it will do. Amen? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You put the Word of God in you, you're getting the Holy Spirit saying, now I can work with something. Now I've got some to work with. You put your hope in me. You put your hope in me. He only knows. Now, God knows it because He knows everything. He even knows the very intent of your heart. So God knows it. He's trying to get you to know it. Amen? He's trying to get you to know it. When you know it, you can't be moved. God already knows it. Amen? God is, you aren't trying to convince God of anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalm 3, it says this, many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. Oh, there's people around saying, oh, God isn't going to take care of you. God isn't going to do this. God isn't going to do that. There's so many stuff out there. It's I want to say it right. There's too many preachers preaching that God won't and God can't. And then there's too many preachers saying, don't worry, God will do everything and you don't have to worry about anything. There isn't. There's a middle ground here where you and God work hand in hand. The two of you working together, where two or more agree on any one thing in Jesus' name, it'll come to pass. When you agree with God and the Holy Spirit agrees with you, because you're agreeing with God, you got two agreement. Amen? Then you got others in agreement. But don't listen to what other people say. I am telling you, the worst thing you can do when you're going through a battle and a storm of your life is being around people who don't believe. You will be around. You got to be around them. But boy, when you get around them and constantly, all they want to talk about is the bad thing going on in your life. All they want to do is give you pity and take care of you, make you feel better. And, you know, and the natural man loves that. The natural man loves to be pitied. The natural man loves to be taken care of. But the spiritual man is standing up and saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? There's a difference. Recognize it. Don't want what they've got, want what God wants. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means they don't understand that you're living by faith now. You're walking, you got hope, and your hope is not in this world. Your hope isn't in the doctors. Your hope isn't in their report. Your hope isn't in the bankers and the, you know, stock market and all. That's not your hope. Your hope is in God. That's where your help comes from. Hallelujah. So no matter what others say, hallelujah. In Matthew 8, remember the time when the disciples were crying to Jesus? He was in the boat. They lost all hope because of the storms that were going on around them. What did they do? Jesus, don't you get, do you ever feel that way at times? The storms are going all over. All around you. You don't know which way to turn. The wind's blowing here. The storm's here. It feels like it's all done. I don't know what to do. I tried. Every time I try to do something, something else happens. And then you cry out to God. Well, God, you said. Jesus, don't you care what's going on? Don't you see it? He said, yeah. I see it. But I'm not moved by it. Don't you get moved by it. The simplest thing in the world, when the storms start getting so bad, when the things start going so hard and it just seems impossible, just speak the word. Stand up and speak the word. Tell it to be still. Rebuke it. Get it out. When temptation comes, don't accept it. How do I know temptation is coming? when you're tempted to do something that you know that God doesn't want. You're going to, this thought comes to mind, oh, go do that. You're just, God loves you. He doesn't care. You know, all this. He wants you to be just so filled with such happiness and all this stuff because he wants you to just be nice and happy and, you know. No. No. Don't put your hope in your mind in what you want. Put your hope in what God wants. That's what makes the difference. Because again, like I said before, storms change. Yell out, save me, Lord. You don't know what to do, say nothing but just save us. Job 6:8 says, oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, that God. Remember Job's story. You remember that. Lost everything. Everything. But he never gave up on God. He never lost hope in God. There were times you felt like, I wish I was never born. Yeah, you're going to go through them. Don't think you won't. There's times you just want to give up and say, Lord, just take me home and let's get this over with. That's not the answer. The answer is keep your hope in God. Know this. What did he say in Jeremiah? Well, wait a minute. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Listen to me. What happens when you lose hope? Here's what happens. Joshua 10. Joshua, God was speaking to Joshua, and Joshua was giving to the people. He said, do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged. When you lose hope, fear and discouragement, top of the line. Because let's face it, if you lose hope that God will perform, and do what he said. Who do you turn to now? If God won't do it, where are you going now? Who's the next one in line? You've gone to the top. And you have lost hope in the one who's at top. Who's left to put your hope in? So what happens? Fear comes. And then along with fear comes discouragement. I'm not even going to try this anymore. It doesn't work. I tried it. Doesn't work. So you look for someplace else to put your hope in, and trust me when I tell you this, the devil's right there to receive it. He'll come he'll come in like a, oh, here we are, the great Savior. And he'll bring in the world. And it'll look so good. It'll feel so good. It'll feel so right. Finally. Finally, I got someone who cares enough about me to take care of me. Hallelujah. And Job, again, said in chapter 6, verse 11, what strength do I have that I should hope? What is my end that I should prolong my life? Just like I said before, that discouragement, that just quit, just stop. Nothing's working. God saw these things. So God dealt with it. Praise God. Listen to this. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Through endurance. I know my God's going to deliver me out of this. I know he is. Because he said he would. So I'm going to endure. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to back off. I'm going to keep pressing. You remember the blind man? When Jesus was coming by? And Jesus was coming by and he said, who's that? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he started yelling, Jesus! Jesus! Save me! Jesus! And everybody around him said, shut up! Shut up! Keep your mouth shut! Don't talk that name. Don't talk about that. Don't do this. But he knew where his hope was in. And he wouldn't be silent. The worst part of being around the world is they shut you up. Because you don't want to offend them. They don't want to hear it. You're afraid of losing them as a friend or family members or whatever it might be. So we just shut up. Don't. You know where your help comes from. You know what you have your hope in. Don't shut up. Keep calling out his name. Keep calling him. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus got closer and he said to him, what do you want? What do you want from me? No, that's, come on. The guy's blind. The guy's blind. You mean tell me Jesus couldn't see he was blind? But he knew this. He could only do what the man in his heart would accept. He opened his eyes. He said, I'm blind. Deliver me from blindness. And that's some of us we have to do. We got our natural eyesight, but our spiritual eyesight is dimmed. We remember what God said to us also. In Jeremiah 29:11, remember that? For I know the plans I have for you. I've already got a set of blueprints, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God is looking for. Everything we do today will affect our future. Everything we do today, everything we say today will affect tomorrow and our next day and next day. A lot of people don't believe that whatever they say has an effect. Wednesdays we've been talking about the Word of God and the power of your words. And we kind of pass over those and gloss over those things. But he said the power of life and death is in your mouth. He warns us about controlling our tongue. Learning to speak love. Not evil or hate. You know, you can curse somebody. The closest person to you, you can curse them with your tongue. What do you mean curse? Curse means speaking evil over them. When you do that, trust me, you reap what you sow. If I continually curse my wife with my words, she'll become exactly what I don't want her to become. And it'll affect my life. Hallelujah. Know this, he said. I have plans for you. I have a blueprint set up for your life. And it's a good one. God isn't asking us, and he's not setting up that blueprint to make us miserable. Trust me. He really wants you to have a good life. You remember that dream I had when God was up in, I was in heaven, and I saw this big tower, and they were throwing all these things down through the tower. And I understood that the tower was going right down to earth. And I said, what are they doing? He said, oh, God just loves to give good gifts to his children. Do you understand God loves to give you good things? God's not withholding any good thing, the Bible says, from us. Not one. Who do you think is going to have all the gold and silver and the bronze and iron to oversee it when Jesus sets up his kingdom here on earth? We are. We are. We're also supposed to be doing it now. But we're not supposed to love that stuff. We're just supposed to use it. Amen? God loves it when he sees his children to prosper spiritually. He loves to see you on top. He loves to see you praising him and worshiping him because of all the goodness he's done in your life. He loves it. He wants you to know that your future is good in him, in Christ. You got a great future ahead of you. Yeah, but I don't see it right now. Of course you don't see it right now because you're looking with the eyes of the flesh and not the eyes of the Spirit. How do the eyes of the Spirit see? When they get into the Word. When you start putting your hope again in what he said, because what he said is who he is. And he's not a man that he should lie. If God says, I'll heal you, then you are healed. You won't be healed. You are healed. But you put your hope in what the doctor says. Or you put your hope in what other people say. Don't do that. That's fine. Let them talk. They can talk. But you're not moved by what people say. You're moved by what God said. Amen? Yeah. Is it scary? Yes. It is. Nobody said it isn't. When you put your full confidence and faith in God, it can be scary. Because it'd be like being on the side of a mountain and you just take all your hands away from everything that you're holding on to and trusting God. And that's hard. I remember I was in the military, and one of the things we had to do was learn to trust one another. So they would put us up on this ladder. It wouldn't be that high, but high enough that it hurt if you hit the ground. And your feet up above everybody. And they said, now close your eyes, put your arms like this, and then just fall backwards. They'll catch you. Well, I knew there was people there that didn't like me. I didn't want to fall. You know, I knew there was jokers there who just loved to take, oh, yeah, we'll catch them. Oops. But we had to do it. God is saying, close your eyes. Just trust me. I'll carry you. I'll hold you. I'll catch you. God isn't going to let you fall. He said, if a man falls, he said, a good man will get up 7 times. Even though you fall, God will still pick you up. How many times will he forgive you? If he tells you to forgive someone 70 times 7, how many times will he forgive you a day? God isn't going to let go of you. But if you lose confidence and trust in him, and you lose hope in him, or you never had hope in him, you thought coming to church was enough. I'm going to tell you what, and I've been saying this right along. In the days ahead, your church family is going to hold you and carry you and sometimes catch you when nobody else will. It's coming. That day's coming. We say in America, oh, nothing like that. You know, I got my confidence in the government. They'll take care of me. Really? Okay. You put your hope in this new tax thing? Okay. You put your hope in the president? Okay. My hope is in the one who put him there. My hope is the one who owns all the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's who my hope is in. That tells me he's always going to make provision for me to pay my taxes, and he's always going to give me meat to eat when I'm hungry. Hallelujah. Amen? Our hope is for him and in him. Hallelujah. Again, what the question was I asked you from the beginning. You really want to get well. And again, I'm saying to you, this is not about a physical, mental, spiritual, whatever it is. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking all over, your whole life. You want your whole life. God is not a God of Sunday mornings. God is not a God of a Wednesday night. God is not a God of your time when you can give to him. Amen? It isn't. Your life is not on wheels where it can be rolled around from this point to that point all the time. God is building a rock solid house that you can depend upon to keep you safe in the storms of life. And trust me, I've told you this before, storms always come. Storms always come. Psalm 39:7. I'm almost done. What now, O Lord? For what do I wait? My hope is in you. Why am I waiting for something? My hope is in him. What am I waiting for? The world to turn? This person to help? Go over there? No, our hope is in him. Mark 2:4. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Isn't it wonderful that he had friends that didn't give up on hope? They got to the door of the house. It says it was crowded. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get in. But they were bringing their sick friend to the Lord to get healed. And it says that they saw that they couldn't get in, so they went up on the roof and tore open the roof and lowered him down to Jesus. Thank God they didn't lose hope because it saw that it was a little difficult. They found a way. Hope always finds a way. You understand? Hope always finds a way. to know that and never have to fear, because what seems impossible at the moment, God opens another way. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, a couple of scriptures to encourage you. You have those that I gave you, but there's a few others I want to give you. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst. Listen to this. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Our God will do that. That's amazing, isn't it? That's an amazing scripture. All this time we're praising and worship him, God says, I will sing over you. Woo! Hallelujah. Psalm 147 says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. God delights when you put your hope in him. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 8. But thanks be to God. Listen, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Don't quit. Don't back down. Stand. Stand. God, you said it. I believe it. I'm not moved. I will not be moved. And I'll continue to praise you. I'll continue to worship you. I'll continue to serve you. I am not going to quit. I'm not backing down, because you said it, Lord, and I believe it. My hope is in you, Lord. Job 11, 13, 19 says, yet if you devote, listen to this, if you devote your heart to him, now this is Job that's going through all this stuff. If you devote your heart to him, stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then free of fault, you will lift up your face, you will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. Here was a man who was going through every evil thing that could go wrong in somebody's life. And look what he's telling us to do. If he could do it, and he didn't even have the Spirit of God in him, he didn't have the Bible, the Word of God, what can we do? How can we do? I'm going to finish this one scripture. Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a promise. When you put your hope in God, God will never let you slip. He will keep you. At times you will slow down. At times you'll fall. But keep your hope in God, and he'll keep you. I know the battles that are fought, and some of them in here are great right now. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in that battle. That enemy is a liar and a thief. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He wants you to have life, to be that life, so others can come into the light. The light is the life that God has given to you. And that's the hope we have. That God has purpose for your life. God is preparing you for a greater day than the day that you started with him. Every moment of every day, God is giving you opportunity to be that hope. To be that hope. Not just have hope, but be that hope. Because when you're that hope, others can hope in Christ because they see the hope in you. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise and glory. Father, we are amazed how you have given us such hope for a future. Our future is bright and glorious. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on a second. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He said, tell them this, and you know this scripture, but I'm going to read it to you just as a reminder. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because of the abundance of our God. Father, we thank you, Lord. And there's times, Father, when we seem to have lost hope. We thank you, Father, that you renew that hope in us. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in your word. Our hope is in the power of your spirit. Our hope is in you, Lord. So, Father, I thank you today as you restore hope. Do you stir up the hope that's in each of us? Do you give us, Father God, the vision, the blueprint of our lives for a glorious future? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He said, as far as the eye can see, as far as the eye can see, the abundance of our God, the glory of our God. He said, as far as the eyes can see, and he's not talking about the natural eyes. How far can you see, he says? Can you see in the future? Can you see the hope that's before you? Thank you, Lord. If you can see it, he said, you can have it. Father, we thank you, Lord. Let us see, Father. Help us to see beyond this moment, beyond this world. Help us to see into the kingdom of our living God. Help us to see there, Father. We have eyes to see what the Spirit is doing. We have ears to hear what he's saying. That is our hope. There is our hope established. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, I just want to say this also, is that I did not